Grace be yours and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning for the reading of our text, we'll read all 21 verses of our second lesson, but our sermon will focus only on the first 13 verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. A pastor's friend asked him once, "How did you build your church?" The pastor answered him, "Well, I began with an exercise class. And then I added, and that worked so well that I added a bookstore. And then I saw people wanted to stick around, so then we added a coffee shop, and then a snack bar. And that led finally to cooking lessons. And before you knew it, I had my own denomination." This morning, we're looking at the creation and the preservation of the New Testament church. And we're going to see that the manner and the object and the signs of Christ's church have quite a different aspect about them than in that story that I just told you. The Holy Spirit goes about creating and preserving the church in a much different way, with a completely different object. And His work and the results have many different marks from those other than outward growth and success. Peter and the other disciples were not there to preach the wonderful works of men. They were there and they preached the wonders of God. They were not there to offer the people bread and circuses like the Romans offered the people. Jesus had promised that he would send the Holy Spirit, who would call, gather, enlighten, and sanctify the whole Christian church on earth. And so, having received that Holy Spirit, Peter and the other apostles and disciples, both men and women, now began to declare the wonders of God, to preach God's Word, particularly the good news of the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. And so this morning on this Festival of the Holy Spirit, we will see how Peter and the other disciples relied on the Holy Spirit. And that is the lesson for us, to rely on the Holy Spirit, because this is the Holy Spirit's work, creating and preserving the church. We'll see the manner by which he does that, the object of his doing that, and the marks of the Spirit's doing that. This past week, the Confessional Evangelical Lutheran Conference, a group of 23 other Lutheran church bodies around the world, along with the Wisconsin Synod, met for a week in Lima, Peru. And they met there for the purpose of studying God's Word and speaking in many different tongues or languages, yet with one voice, they acknowledged their common faith and confession. Lutherans from Asia and Africa, from Mexico and Latin America, from Scandinavia and Europe and America. How very much like Pentecost. All those disciples of Christ speaking in many different languages, but with one voice, the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, and the promise that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord on the last great day will be saved. Pentecost, or rather the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened on the Old Testament festival of Pentecost, was the creation of the New Testament church. It was the expanding of that New Testament church. It was what was done to preserve the church throughout the coming persecutions by both the Jews and the Romans. And the manner of the Holy Spirit's creating and preserving that church is only the gospel in word and sacrament. That's what Peter preached. That's what the other disciples preached in those languages they had not studied and that the people heard them speaking in. The Holy Spirit enabled them to do this, to declare the wonders of God, everything that God had revealed about himself in the Old Testament, especially the coming Messiah, and especially that the Jesus whom they crucified, he told them, and God raised from the dead, is that Messiah, is that Savior from sin. And we know that 3,000 people who heard that good news believed in Jesus as their Savior. And so Peter and the other disciples pointed these God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven to their sin of rejecting Christ, but then to their forgiveness in that Christ as God has raised him from the dead. And that is the lesson for us, as the Holy Spirit, through our work together, continues to create and to preserve the church. The way he does it is through the gospel in word and sacrament alone. The law accuses us of our sin and condemns us under our sin. The law tells us that we crucified Christ as he took our sin and guilt upon himself to the cross. But then the Holy Spirit reveals that Jesus is our Savior from sin. And by that good news, he has converted our hearts. He has called us out of darkness into light. He has called us out of unbelief into faith. And as you and I continue to share that Word of God, the manner that the Holy Spirit works will continue as more and more are added daily who are being saved. More and more are being preserved in their faith, so that we can call on the name of the Lord on Judgment Day. The object of the Spirit's work is that creation and preservation of saving faith in the heart, not to grow numerically. Let's talk about numbers for a minute. Outward visible numbers. Is it all right for the church to use different activities and programs in a ministerial role with the gospel? Absolutely. Is it right for the church to ever use programs and activities in a magisterial role in connection with the gospel? Never are we to do that. Do you understand the difference? A ministerial role is a role of a servant, of serving something or someone. We can use programs and we can use activities in a ministerial role, in a service role, even our reason we can use in a ministerial role to the gospel. But we can never use coffee shops and cooking classes and exercise classes or our human reason. We can never put those in a magisterial role. That is, in a role over the gospel. As if those things were going to grow faith in the church. As if those things were going to preserve people in their faith and keep them interested in Christ. The object of our ministry, the object of the work of the Holy Spirit, is not numerical growth and success as humans count success. A little bit later in Acts chapter 2, Peter makes very clear the object of the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is our object, our objective, as members of Christ's church, to be the instruments through which God's Word is proclaimed and the Holy Spirit can do His sanctifying work of calling people out of unbelief into faith, as He has called us, to enlighten people so that they can see the true God and see the grace of God in the face of Christ, as He has called us to see and to know that. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit is that we reject all claims of righteousness of our own and cling only to the righteousness of Jesus Christ under the law that He offered on the cross. It is the object of the Holy Spirit through our work, His work, is to give people of all different languages, all different cultures and colors, to give those who have many different languages one voice to confess Jesus Christ, one heart to believe in Jesus Christ, one common destiny, and that is to spend eternity with our Savior in heaven. And that leads us finally to the marks of the Holy Spirit. What are the marks of the church? And those marks are quite different from outward growth and success. There are many quite large churches. There are many what people call mega churches that have numbers and activities that most cruise lines would be happy to have. And I guess, come to think of it, there isn't much difference. They really have the numbers and they have the activities on cruise ships pretty much that you have in some mega churches. That's not a judgment on the individual hearts of people that are there, but it certainly is the outward impression and picture that they give of their marks of their church. I mean, think about it. If the Holy Spirit added 3,000 believers to the church on Pentecost through the preaching of sin and grace, might He not have added 20,000 if Peter and the other disciples would have just forgot all that stuff? Didn't preach really sin and hell and the cross and all those depressing things? And preach basically, if you live a good life as a Christian, you're going to be successful and you're going to be prosperous. And God wants you to have it all. And when you're faithful to Him, He'll be faithful to you and give you everything. Well, they didn't do that because that wasn't their objective. They didn't do that because that's not the object of preaching Christ. Those aren't the marks of the church. We see that the church was really present there on Pentecost, and we see where the church is present when God's Word is preached and the sacraments are administered according to Christ's institution. The marks of the church are the gospel in word and sacrament. The marks of the church are the believers that gospel creates. I mentioned before that it is our work to share that Word of God. We have received the Holy Spirit the same way the disciples did as believers, not in the same way as that one-time event on Pentecost, but we have received that gift of the Holy Spirit to share Jesus Christ with others. And we know that there will be success. We know that God will add to the church. But we know that it is not us. We are not the instruments through which that happens. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians about us being weak vessels, jars of clay. He said, we have this treasure, God's Word, through which the Holy Spirit works, in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And don't we see that so clearly on Pentecost? The disciples' courage, the disciples' knowledge, the disciples' ability to use their gifts to miraculous ends all point to the Holy Spirit. They all point to the marks of the church, the gospel, as they proclaimed it, and as many were baptized. Every Sunday we pray the mission prayer in the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come. We're asking the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel to call many unbelievers to faith. We're asking the Holy Spirit to preserve us in our faith, so that we may remain members of Christ's church through all eternity. I recently read of a Wisconsin Synod church that when one of their members died, they would officially transfer that member. They would transfer that member officially from the church militant to the church triumphant. And Bethlehem is going to consider doing that in the future. Because doesn't that really talk about the objective and the results of the work of the Holy Spirit? When we die, we don't leave the church. We just go from the church militant to the church triumphant. And that's the work of the Spirit, to bring us into that church, to preserve us in our faith throughout our lives so we can get to that church triumphant. And then finally holds us and keeps our faith safely in His hands as He takes us there. The marks of the administration of the Holy Spirit are the gospel and the souls that it wins and keeps for Christ. On this Pentecost, we remind ourselves that we find Christ in the church. And we find the church by the Holy Spirit. And we find the Holy Spirit in the Word of Christ. Amen.